There's a man in this room tonight who's out to ruin me. His name is Jack Hiles. To whatever degree I cater to him, I am unsuccessful. Let me say that again. There's a man in this room tonight who's out to ruin me. His name is Jack Hiles. To whatever degree I cater to him, I'm unsuccessful. And to whatever degree I ignore him, to that same degree, I am successful. The great secret of any kind of success is forgetting him. The more I forget him while I preach, the better I preach. The more I forget him while I teach, the better I teach. He wants me to give him attention. He wants me to think about him. And that's our problem. You have an enemy too. Somebody who's out to ruin you. Your bitterest enemy is not who you think it is. Your bitterest enemy is yourself. Because yourself clamors for attention. And the more attention you give yourself and the more you think about yourself, the more trouble you'll get in. And the less effective you'll be in whatever you try to do. I don't care if you're making a speech, building a business, or a home, rearing children, whatever it is. It's so hard for us not to relate everything to how it affects us. In fact, I believe this. I believe that 99% of the people in this room tonight relate practically everything in life to how it relates to me. I don't like him because of what he's done to me. I don't like her because she mistreated me. It's hot today and I am miserable. I am not getting what I want. I'm saying that your bitterest enemy tonight, to you men, is the fellow you shave. And to you ladies, it's the one whose hair you fix and to which you give a permanent. In some cases, you men, God pity you, do the same thing. I can't get a permanent because mine's not permanent. Mine's very temporary. By the time I get one curled, it falls out. I'm sticking it down now with glue and scotch tape. But I really wish tonight, I could get this truth across to you. I wish somehow I could get you to forget you live. I wish I could get you to forget you even have a need. Listen, you'd never get your feelings hurt again. You'd never be blue again. You'd never be melancholy again. You'd never be guilty of self-pity again. Just forget you exist. He that loseth his life shall lose, seeketh his life shall lose it. He that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that seeketh his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That's the way you find life. You forget you exist. Now, this enemy of mine wants me to give him attention. He wants me to think about him. He wants me to pity him. He wants me to defend him. My job's not defending Jack Hiles. Good night. My job's defending Jesus. I'm not going to lay my sword down to defend my Savior, to defend myself. I'm not going to do that. That's not my job. It's my job to spend my life defending him, exalting him, preaching him, honoring him, magnifying him, telling about him. More folks cuss Jesus than cuss me. I'm going to defend those cussing him, not those cussing me. No way. I'm going to defend Jesus, not myself. He wants me to measure my life to see if it's pleasant. He wants me to see if I've missed anything in life at the age of 60. He wants me to check and see how I'm doing. He wants me to measure and see how happy I am. He wants me to decide how happy I am. And if I'm not as happy as I ought to be, he wants me to figure out some way to change what's going on so I can get happier. He wants me to judge whether or not I am appreciated. He wants me to judge my degree of knowledge. You know, ladies and gentlemen, self-awareness, I almost call this sermon the unaware man, but it sounds a little bit shady. haven't said a word. You're the ones who got the dirty thoughts, not me. But I've got it written down there. You see that? Unaware man. And I scratched it out before the sermon. I thought, I'm calling it the self-conscious man, because the unaware man just... Okay, let's go on. You know who the ugliest gal in the world is? It's a gal that's wondering if she's pretty. Other day I was preaching in a distant state and I saw a lady. She was young and she's still sort of young. And we laughed about this. She came to my office when we first started Howells Anderson College. Oh, this has been probably 12 years ago. And she really wanted to make an impression. She had it all. She obviously practiced walking. And she had a little hanky in her hand. And it was more for show than it was for blow, but it was a little hanky in her hand. And she was holding it just exactly right. She'd been practicing. And she sat down and she sat just she really sat good. You could tell she was Miss Astor. She had been to finishing school. And everything, because she wanted to impress Brother House. And there's nothing that's any more disgusting than folks trying to impress somebody. Nothing. Wonder what he thinks. Wonder how I'm doing. Wonder what he thinks about me all fooey. But anyway, she was. And so everything was fine. It was obvious. I would say, she'd ask a question. I would say, give her the advice. And she'd say, oh, that is very good. That is very good. Thank you, Dr. Hiles. What a wise man you are. Of course, she was right there, but then it came time to leave. I'll never forget it. One of the funniest things. I wish you could have seen it. She had it all figured exactly how she was going to back out and not turn her back on me. And as she walked out, she's going to step. She's sitting there on the end of the sofa. You know how you folks have been there. There at the end of the sofa, and right beside the sofa, there's a little table, carrot juice table there at the end of the sofa. And a little end table. And so, at that time, it had a lamp on it. Doesn't have a lamp on it now, but it did at that time. Now, wait till I get to it, folks. And I hate you folks that get there before I get there, and the laugh comes before the funny part. But the reason I'm telling this, I saw her just a few weeks ago where I was preaching, and we laughed about this. And we've laughed about it many times. But she was just, and I mean she was dressed to fare thee well. I mean, she really was. And so, it came time to leave, and everything had been perfect, and she was just about to bow in success. And so she stepped out, and she didn't want to turn her back, and so she stepped, and she was going to back out to the door, and then she was going to, you know, what that means, but she's going to give a little hand there, and I was going to shake a little paw, but when she started to leave, She didn't allow enough room for the end table. And so as she backed up, she backed right into the table. And that table comes just about where your legs bend. And so she sat down on the table. Now the table had just been waxed. And so she scooted back. As she sat down, when she scooted back, she got that lamp. And the lamp fell off behind her. And then she kept on scooting, and she scooted all the way across that table and fell off. And you won't believe this. I don't care. Believe it or not. It doesn't make a difference to me. It's true. I don't care if you believe it or not. Call me a liar if you want to, but you're a liar if you do. But anyway, the lampshade came off the lamp. And when she was laying down there on her back, the lampshade was on her head. She liked it. The lampshade was on her head. And she got all off of the table except her feet, and her feet were sticking up just like that. And she looked up at me, and she said, I didn't do very well, did I? And I said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. I thought about that because of Sarah not long ago. We talked about it. Now, what was her trouble? She was trying to impress me. Now, what should she have done? She should have been trying to encourage me. I mean, it's not what does he think about me, it's what does he need. It's not what does he think. Does he think I'm charming? That's not the issue. Forget you live. Forget you exist. Jesus said, he that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that loses his life
for my sake, she'll find it. This fellow who's my enemy, he wants me to judge whether or not I'm appreciated. He wants me to wonder how well I'm preaching. You know one of the things about preaching to me, you sit in the house, you ever get nervous? If I think about myself, I might. Why I get nervous? I think about myself, trying to help you. That's all. Doesn't matter whether I preach a good sermon or not, do you get your help? That's all that matters. Fellow trying to be a good preacher never will be, because he's thinking about himself. Fellow trying to make folks like him. Listen, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I ever try to make folks like me. Now, I like to be liked. I like to be loved. I don't like to be hated. I'll guarantee you one thing. I won't trim that much of my sermon to be loved or liked or appreciated. Not one bit. I was thinking, and I'm just sort of piddling tonight. I was thinking this last week or two. I was thinking, I better just declare to you once again that we're not going to change here at First Baptist Church as long as I'm here. I just sort of thought maybe I'll let you know that again. And no, we're not going to change. Not going to change. No, not at all. And I mean the same old stuff. Soul winning. Yep, soul winning. Yep, soul winning. Yep, soul winning. You like it, don't like it. Soul winning, soul winning. Appreciate it, don't appreciate it. Soul winning. Come hell, high water. Soul winning, soul winning. That's right, that's right. Well, you say, when are you going to change your standards? Not going to change my standards. Not at all. Not at all. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted with the water. I shall not move. No change of standards. No. Our young people's department's not going to have any mixed bathing real soon. Now, the best years club may, but that wouldn't be sinful. If you saw me in a bathing suit, you wouldn't think it's sinful. But I'm saying same old standards. I'm you build a house. You're getting old now. You're gonna mellow? No, I'm gonna harden. I'm gonna crystallize. I've come too far to turn back now. Now don't you get your hopes up. No, don't get your hopes up. Hollywood movies are still from hell. Whether you are there with them or they're in your living room with you, they're still from hell. Stay out of the movie, keep the movie out of your house. I don't care if a whole crowd goes to movies, they'll still preach against from this pulpit. Whole crowd goes mixed bathing is still wrong. We're not going to change preaching about standards of women's dress and men's hair. We're not going to change our conviction. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to stand for right till God calls me home. That's what I'm here for. I want to say this too, and I probably should have said this before, but I'm going to say it now. I probably should have said it again. Next time I should have said it, I'll say it again. My dad died and he's 62. I'm 60. I have no premonition at all. I haven't had any dreams, anything. But if I died the same year my dad died, I'll die in 2 years. Something I want to say, and I want it to be on tape, and I won't be dwelling on it a great deal, but something ought to be said. I've seen churches change pastors and pastors die and other men come in, and I've seen ministries change. I want to tell you something. I want everybody in this room to put yourself in case something, if you ever hear that Brother Hiles has gone down the plane or had a heart attack and he's gone to heaven. Or if you ever hear Brother Hiles has had a stroke and he can't speak and can't preach anymore. I want you to set yourself as a custodian of one to keep this church like it's always been. I don't want you calling somebody because you want somebody different. Call an old-fashioned leather lung, hell-raising, hellfire and damnation, barnstorming, window-rattling, single-pulling preacher who has some conviction and takes a stand. Don't you? Please, Abel, it'd just be good. If you die, it'd be good to have a change. Well, change from one like me to one like me. I'm not saying have to get somebody exactly like me. You won't get anybody as charming as I am. There's not any more of them. But don't you get somebody that doesn't believe that hell has fire. Don't you get somebody that believes in taking the sign Baptist off your church. And I want to say this. This is a Baptist church. Signs out in front, on the letterheads, on the stationery. And we're Baptist. Don't you call some non-denominational preacher in here when I'm gone. You call a Baptist preacher. And if there's a pulpit committee somebody appoints that wants to change the type of preaching, then you fire the committee and get somebody else on the committee. Don't you let a half a dozen men change this church when I die. Don't you let the
deacon board. Now, I'm not worried about this, but brother, if anything ever happens and the deacons decide, well, we want some little fella who's not quite as rough as Brother Hiles and doesn't quite have the standards and the stand. Brother Hiles, you just go ahead and vote him down. Vote him down. And if you deacons and members, Hiles Anderson College gets some leadership when I'm gone, and I don't think it will, but if it does, and they water down the message that's been preached from this pulpit and for which that college was started, you deacons, fire them all! And if you teachers in the schools, if somebody becomes the leader of this church when I'm dead and gone, and if they don't believe what's been preached from behind this pulpit, then walk out! You can't get it changed, walk out! I'll guarantee you one thing. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have some angels that I'm in charge of. Brother, if you don't keep on old red-hot invitations after I'm in heaven, I'm sending about 100 angels down there to stick pins and needles in you. I'm putting electric shock current in the pews. This church wasn't built because this happens to be what we want right now. It's built because this happens to be what we are following right now. I'm saying that I've lived long enough now to see men pass off the scene. I've seen men die and men become incapacitated because of health. And all of a sudden the people say, well, we'd like to have a change. If anybody says that, stand up and vote it out. Vote it down. Don't you take that. Don't you take that. Enough people in this church to see to it that you get the kind of man that'll be as red hot for soul winning as we always have been. There are enough people in this church who are rock-rib fundamentalists where you won't have to be led by a few people that may take over the reins someday on the staff or somewhere else and get the wrong kind of man in here. If you don't like what I'm preaching, you can just do what you want to with it, brother. As long as I'm alive, not only will this church stand for what she stood for 27 years, but I'm going to remind you to keep it standing like she's standing now when I'm dead and gone to heaven. He said, what did that have to do with the sermon? I don't know. I just stuck it in here. I'm not thinking tonight. I'm preaching. You can keep this church. You can keep this church like it's always been if you choose to. And by the way, you check a fellow who comes in here. You check and see what he stood for. And check and see how many baptisms he's had every year. You check and see how many years he's come to pastor school. You check and see how his young people dress and what kind of standards his schools have. You check and see. You find out about him. Don't you hire in here some little ear-tickling, pussy-footing, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-lipping, soft-soaping, pinky lemonade pussy-footer. Don't you do it! Don't you let some suave fellow who's a neo-evangelical dressed in fundamentalist clothing, got a facade of fundamentalism and a heart of neo-evangelicalism. Don't you let him come in here and change this church. Rise up, O people of God, and see to it the old First Baptist Church of Hammond is always a citadel of soul winning and hellfire brimstone preaching and convictions and standards. Let it always be so. Always. Always. I've known dozens of preachers who've gotten in ill health. They've had to let other men come in and take their churches. They're dying and have died with broken hearts. Doesn't have to be so. I'm saying, call somebody who doesn't know he exists but's lost in a cause. I love to be loved like anybody else does. But I refuse to be loved at the expense of New Testament Christianity. This enemy I've got, he wants me to want to be a good pastor instead of wanting you to have your needs met. By the way, that's why I said what I just said. I had a lady stand last Tuesday night with her teenage daughter. I think I mentioned this Wednesday night, I'm not sure. With her teenage daughter beside her and with tears streaming down her cheeks, she said to me, Dr. Hiles, she said, my daughter's going to come to your college. And the daughter grinned and said, I really am. In a few years. I said, how old are you? I think she said 13.
And I kiddingly said, I'll try to stay alive till you get there. And then the lady had tears in her eyes, and she said, Dr. Hiles, you keep that school just like it is now. Don't let it change before she gets old enough to get there. Don't let it change. I'm telling you what she said. It's not what I'm saying. She said, if you change, where can I send her? That's what she said. There needs to be a Hiles Anderson College in America. Needs to be a place where in chapel you can hoop and holler. Well, you say that's not very educational. I've seen a bunch of educational garbage. We don't want that kind of stuff that you're talking about. Well, it's not intellectual. I've met a few of those birds, too. You don't like his preaching? You can find a little fella got lace on his underwear anywhere around Hammond. Stand up! Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross! Lift high his royal banner! It must... Listen, I don't want any member of Hiles Anderson faculty, Hammond Baptist High School faculty, Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist Junior High, or the staff of this church, because Brother Hiles is getting up in years, I don't want a single one of them to have one little worry about the fact that it'll always be like it is now. Not a worry. They have a right to know that they'll always be standing and teaching and speaking and leading an institution that's like it is now. Don't you hire a doctor, mess him up. You keep the sweet, precious kind of people we have employed here now. Finest bunch of people in America. Finest bunch. And some of you people, just because you haven't got enough vision to see past your nose, you don't know what we have here. And brother, we don't have wildfire instead of scholarship. We have fire and scholarship. I'll put the faculties of our schools up against anybody's. Anybody's anywhere. I want those little kids that sing up here in the choir on Wednesday nights. I know when they stand up here, sometimes these little four-year-old children stand. I know mathematics. I know these little four-year-old children sing in the choir when they get in high school. I know I'll be 74 years old. I know that. I don't last till 74 as pastor of this church, so I'll be honest with you, I plan to. But if I don't last till 74, I want somebody behind this pulpit that'll help these children grow up exactly as we've tried to rear these kids for 27 years plus. You're going to have everybody and his dogs, if I die, everybody and his dogs going to want this church. And you're going to have some real suave men coming here. Real suave. And they'll speak language that's real suave. You check them out. You tiptoe out to one of the youth activities and see how they're dressed. You go to one of their Sunday morning services and see what kind of a service they have. You check and see how many folks they've baptized and what kind of soul winning they have. Oh, listen. All across this nation, so-called fundamentalists are dipping their sails. It takes as much courage for me to preach today at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship what I believe as it took me to preach 30 years ago at the Southern Baptist Convention what I believe then. You call somebody to lose himself. This enemy of mine wants me to check and see how much credit I'm getting. He wants me to be wrapped up. I may dwell on this a couple of hours right now. He wants me to be wrapped up in self-improvement. Far too much of that going on. How about others' improvement? I'll guarantee you the best way to you improve is forget about your own improvement and think about others improving. Boy, that's good. Far too much of how to improve self, how to better self. I tell you how you better self. If you feed somebody that's hungry, you'll be a lot better.
Clothe somebody's naked. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus who's going to hell and get them on their way to the glory world. And you'll be a better self. I'm not saying you shouldn't grow in grace. I'm saying forget it and get somebody else to grow in grace. Forget yourself.
You help somebody else to grow in grace. Brother, if you're pulling them up, you've got to be above them, and so you'll be growing just to keep them growing. I may get loud in a minute, so get ready. This fellow wants me to participate in growth and grace. Oh, by the way, he wants you to do the same thing. You got one too. You got an enemy trying to destroy you. He wants you to have as your goal to be a good teacher. Wouldn't give you a dime for that kind of goal. You make as your goal your students' learning. Listen, sailors, no talking. Don't look back. You're the guy I'm talking to. Listen to me. I know people who have their great goal in life to be a good teacher. But they'll never be a good teacher. Because they're thinking of themselves. The great goal in life ought to be to get the truth to these boys and girls. Listen, let God decide whether you're a good teacher. That's what the judgment seat's all about. I know people that want to be great singers. That's not a good motive. You won't ever be a great singer. Listen, we have folks that stand up here, and I'll guarantee you when they sing. Other day, Mrs. Idson was singing here. I'll guarantee you she didn't know her name. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know if she was doing a good job or not. She, like some of these other folks do. I've seen Ed Wolber do the same thing in others. They're up here lost in the song. Lost. Doesn't matter who I am. Doesn't matter if I'm doing well. Doesn't matter. All that matters, does the message get across? The folks blessed and encouraged and strengthened. That's all that matters. I know women that their goal in life is to be a good wife. I can tell you, I can beat that. Make your goal in life to see that your husband has what he needs. I know people want to be good students. Fool you on being a good student. Learn everything you can. Jesus is saying here, forget what you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. And that will make you be what you ought to be. But when you're what you ought to be, you won't know you're what you ought to be. For if you know what you ought to be, you quit being what you ought to be. Isn't this good? I don't understand it, but that's what it said in the book I read. I was in Tampa, Florida the other day preaching. I sat in the same room where something happened that years ago I told you about. One of the sweetest experiences of my life. And I was in Tampa preaching just a few weeks ago, and I relived it as I was right there in the spot where it happened. I was preaching there years ago when Dr. Ron Schaefer's pastor of the First Baptist Church, Temple Heights in Tampa, Florida. Bill Harvey was sitting right beside me, and John Rice sitting right beside him in a great Sword of the Lord conference that Dr. John and I used to share so often. We, all of a sudden, a preacher at the head table got up and left the room. We thought he was going to the washroom or something. Maybe he got feeling a little bad. He walked out the side door, closed the door behind him, and we didn't know what was going on. What he had done was he'd gotten a piece of steak caught in his windpipe. The guy was dying. We didn't know it. Of course, he made the mistake of leaving. When he left, he made the mistake of closing the door. All of a sudden, we heard some groaning, and somebody just casually walked through there and saw the fellow laying down, breathing his last breath, just choked on a piece of steak. Dr. John Rice went in there. Bill Harvey behind him, and I was behind Bill Harvey because Dr. Rice was the closest to the door. And others walked in that room. And Dr. Rice put his finger down inside that throat and tried to pull that thing out. And Bill Harvey did something about pulling, jerking something. And the guy was still dying. I did what I could. I forget what I did. I think I looked at him and cried. But I did. I and said, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my.
or come out, come out, come out, come out, wherever, whatever you are. And we tried, nothing succeeded. The little gal about that tall, young married lady walked over, didn't say a word, didn't tell us who she was. She walked over, the little short, stubby hand, she took that finger. She began to scream and cry, and she stuck her finger down in there, and she did something to him, and suddenly he coughed, and she pulled that piece of steak out and saved his life. One of us asked her, who are you? She said, his wife. We were trying to be a savior. She was trying to keep her husband alive. One of us probably thought, if we can do it, we'll have a good illustration for a sermon Sunday. We won't have to study this week. She forgot it. She knew who she was. She didn't know a thing. There's her husband. She got the steak out. I was in the very place recently where that happened and relived that wonderful experience. I was in Snyder, Texas, preaching early in the year. I preached three times, and the music director, the man that was leading the music, was an evangelistic man. Evangelist was in to lead the music. He preached one time also. He came to me after I'd preached my second sermon. He looked up at me and he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, you know what the secret of your preaching is? And I said, I'm not sure there is any, but I said, I appreciate if you tell me. He said, the secret to your preaching is this. You have so many truths inside of you that you're just dying to get out. You have so many truths inside of you that you're just dying to get out. And ladies and gentlemen, if somehow, that's what's wrong with the ministry today. We're thinking about how we're doing. You go to the average college and learn how to preach. They'll say, one, two, do your gestures just right. Yeah. One. I was in those classes. You ought to have seen those guys. I wish you could see one of these homiletics classes. Now, in the first place, point number two. When I was in seminary, they asked me to preach a sermon. First week I was there, see how we did. I made 16 mistakes. Preached the same sermon next Sunday morning, had 16 converts. One for each mistake. And the fellow that was teaching us how to preach was a dead professor. I mean, he couldn't have sold food in India. You know what America needs? America needs some preachers don't know they exist. I've got a message. Got a truth. I've got to get it out. I don't like your preaching. That's why we have so many doors here. Lose yourself. Nothing is as delightful as an unaware personality. Nothing. Nothing is as delightful as a person with whom you can talk that's not aware of himself. And there's nothing quite so boring as to talk to somebody who obviously is trying to impress. Nothing is prettier and a lady who's not self-conscious. I got so many things I want to say right there. All this stuff that you buy will not take the place of a personality that's thinking about the person to whom you're talking instead of yourself. We have ladies walk down these aisles sometimes crying under conviction of the time they get up. Tears have formed mud balls on their cheeks. Looks like a snowball rolling down a mountainside. I'm not against makeup. God knows I'm not.
But far too many of you young ladies especially look like you've just been in a fist fight and lost. You folks are visiting tonight, don't get nervous. When we outgrow this building, we don't want to build. We want to cut this crowd down to fit the building. You won't find Revlon doesn't have anything that'll help your beauty as much as an unaffected personality. I'm talking about the little gal that when she gets out in the rain and she can't get to the building fast enough, she doesn't even know her hair is wet. There's a certain beauty about that. Unaffected. Unaware. Somebody's saying right now, I don't take like this sermon. I know, and you know what I'm talking about. I just hope you don't freeze and that look on your face. You fool on what you like. What do the folks need? And by the way, since when did God call you to preach? I may not like the way the barber cuts my hair, but when he gets through, if it's what... How did it hurt? No preaching is like unaware preaching. None. I can see him now. I introduce him. He's sitting over here. Where Brother Colston sleeping? He's sitting over here. If you're not going to smile, go on home. Two! Get! Go on! Get. He's sitting with the Colston, sitting. And I say, here he is. And he walks up. He doesn't know he takes his coat off. He just takes it off and tosses it over to me. Stands up there. It looks like 2 2-by-4s covered with cloth. Bald-headed. He doesn't know who he is. He just starts singing, well, they came, and they were blessed, and he gave that old weary rest, and he made them their old blinded eyes to see, and he fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Gap. Well, Brother Jack, he didn't know who he was. A bunch of preachers sitting out there criticizing him, I couldn't even draw flies. I told you this wasn't a sermon. Well, the old man sitting up on the platform. Do you think he's conscious of himself he'd look like that? I've seen him again and again and again. Right in the middle of a special number. I mean old Dr. John Rice, right in the middle of a special number. Get up. Walk up there and start singing with the soloist. And I just know what he said. He said, I think they'll like me if I do this. He didn't know where he was. I was preaching with him up there. And right, I'll be there a few days up in Rochester, Michigan. Preaching Dr. John Rice up there years ago when Cotton Nelms, Vernon Nelms was pastor up there. Dr. Rice didn't like folks to play the organ while he prayed. In fact, many folks have died prematurely after his rebuke. All of a sudden, Dr. Rice stood up to pray and this fellow started playing softly in the background. Dr. Rice said, shut that box. Quit praying. Quit praying. He said, shut that box off. He didn't know who he was. He just didn't want the box on, that's all. He knew who he was. I wish you knew.
what I'm talking about. What difference does it make what happens to me? What difference does it make what happens to you? It's what happens to that. What happens to others? What can I do for somebody else? No true greatness is ever known unless there's unawareness. Long as you live in that little world of yours, I have been wounded. You'll never know what I'm talking about. As long as you live in that little world of yours, I wonder what folks think about me. You'll never understand it. The blessed Savior who wanted to be loved. I'm going to close with this, but now you follow me for a second. You think Jesus was some kind of a careless bigot that didn't give a flip what folks think? Ladies and gentlemen, the reason that God made the human race was for somebody to love Him and praise Him. That's what it was all about. You think He didn't care? Of course He cared. But He was lost in a cause. The Bible said He set His face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Set His face like a flint. What's a flint? Usually a flint was what was on the front end of an arrow, headed toward its target. No way to think of turning back. No way at all. Just unaware. Going to the cross. Don't you care what folks think? If I didn't care what folks think, what do you think I created them for? I created them to love me and praise me and honor me. Of course I care. Don't try to make them like you. I can't make them like me and redeem them. I can't give them eternal life without being hated. What difference does it make? He said in so many words, what happens to me? The important thing, what happens to them? Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, mothers, quit trying to be a model mother. Quit trying to be, and start trying to be to your children exactly what they need. Preachers, quit worrying about whether you're going to be a great preacher someday or not. That doesn't matter. You worry about giving your folks what they need. Students, quit trying to be the model student so you can get students come here with the idea, I want to be voted Mr. Highlander someday. If Mr. Highlander deserves the honor, he's the most shocked person here when he gets it. I'll never forget that time. I've forgotten her. Well, I know her name, but I can't think of it right now. A little gal that went to school here very quietly for 4 years. Very wonderful little gal. Sweet, dedicated, good student. But she never thought much of herself. She's sitting right back there. I watched her when one of our men read who Miss Highlander was. It was she. Why, she thought she was the last one in the class, Miss Highlander. There's nothing in the world that'll help you any more than to forget you live. Just forget you exist. That's all. The Savior said, he that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You can't hurt anybody like that. They don't know you're trying to hurt them. You can't wound them. They're too busy trying to help the wounded. Others are wounded. You can't. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. You can't make a crucified man mad. He's dead. You can't offend a man who's dead. Walk up to, go out to Memory Lane tonight late. Walk up to one of those caskets out there, or vaults out there. Say, you dirty bricka-bracka-bracka-loma. See if it affects them any. See if they open up the casket and cuss you back. If they do, let me know. Forget yourself. Forget yourself. Just forget you live. I started off many years ago preaching what I believe.
I think I could preach anywhere in America if they didn't know me and make them like me. I think I know how. But that's not what I'm there for. Hey, let me tell you a story. I'm going to close again. Years ago, I was in North Carolina. I won't tell you the city. Some of you folks were there. A few of you were there. Dr. Hudson, it was the first Sword of the Lord conference Dr. Hudson ever preached. Dr. Rice couldn't go, and I went, and Dr. Hudson, Curtis Hudson, who's now editor of the Sword of the Lord, went with me. And the first time, he scared to death. I'll never forget. Because the first time I'd ever preached in a Sword of the Lord conference. Just getting broken in. Anyway. And he's preaching the first morning. No, Bill Harvey was singing and first morning. And some kids back there were laughing at him. Some school kids, high school kids. And all the girls had on blue jeans. Christian high school. All the girls had on blue jeans, just about. Maybe one or two had on dresses. Those kids were rude, making fun of him. When I got up to preach, I told him what I thought about it. He said, because you're mad? No, because somebody needs to help those kids. Boy, when I got through preaching, five fellas met me out in a little vestibule on the side. Students, to whip me. I mean, they were going to beat me up. And I said, well, go ahead. I said, who wants to start? I've been wanting to use some of my old paratroop judo and karate anyway. And they said, let's talk about it. That night, boy, the place was packed and jammed with irate parents. I did what I did tonight. I just didn't preach. I just hollered. Just threw a fit. That's what preachers ought to do every once in a while. Just throw a fit. I didn't throw a fit. I throwed a fit. And do you know that when I left that place, they wouldn't call my name. They call me the man. And you know, for years, that's all they ever called me, the man. They wouldn't even call my name down there. The other morning, I preached at Southwide Baptist Fellowship. I sort of cut loose a little bit in certain spots, and in my own timid way, let them know what I thought ought to do. First man to me, said, Dr. Hiles, we had to have what you just said. Was the pastor of that church where I was called the man. Just a young man, I was there many years ago, now a middle-aged man. One of the best followers I've got, best friends I've got, and they're students tonight in this school from that church. You say, Brother Hiles, you enjoyed making them mad, didn't you? No, I didn't. In fact, I went back in the room that night and I cried for 30 minutes or more. No, I don't like to make enemies. God knows I don't. The truth is, I don't really like to preach like I'm preaching tonight. But there's some things that need to be said every once in a while. Lose yourself, folks. Lose yourself. Quit trying to be something and lose yourself in doing something. Forget you exist. Don't be wounded. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I guarantee you, whoever you are tonight, if somehow you could just forget that you exist. Don't try to be a great sailor worker. Just love the fire out of sailors. That's why those guys are back there. Don't try to be a great youth worker. Just love the fire of the young people. Don't try to be a great pastor, a great preacher. Just try to give your folks what they need. Tonight, many of the things I've said tonight, because I want these little children that call me preacher and stick pennies and nickels and dimes under my door, I want them to have a First Baptist Church of Hammond just like we have here tonight.
when they're 16, 17, 18 years of age. And then when they get married and have their own little children, I want there to be a First Baptist Church in heaven. I'll be up in heaven looking down before many more years anyway. I just want there always to be what there has been. So with the grace of God, in this old world that's getting more wicked by the day, and there's more distance between decency and convictions and the world than ever has been, there needs to be one place left in this world that says, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I just won't be moved. And may there be a Hiles Anderson College that won't be moved. Let's don't worry about record enrollments. Let's don't worry about how many. Let's worry about what we stand for. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, you expect to have 30,000? I'm going to close now again. You expect to have 30,000 Sunday school someday average for a whole year? I don't know. We may be hiding in the catacombs somewhere. I mean, if they put knives to our throats and say, you Christians, we won't need any more building programs. We can probably meet in the chapel. You just wait. Brother, we're headed for it. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, we're headed for it. And it just might be good for us. Put a knife to your throat and say, you know Jesus? Jesus who? You believe the Bible? Yeah. Revised version. If that's okay. I just want there always to be a place left in this great nation. You don't know how many preachers across this nation take a stand because of this place right here. You just don't know. Sometimes when I preach at these national meetings, these little preachers, and I don't mean little, they're greater than I am, but I have these little churches around the country. I mean, boy, to hear somebody stand up that's got this many people and take the stand, you have no idea what it does to those fellas. I have no idea what it does. May it ever be so. And may I and you walk guard around it, so that a long time after there's no Jack Hiles on earth, and a long time after many of us are looking down from the heavenly grandstand, may those of you who are left fight to the end to preserve standards, convictions, soul-winning fervor and zeal of this church. To that end, I've lived for 27 years and 2 months. To that end, I'll continue to live as long as God allows me to stand behind this pulpit. And I ask you, in whatever endeavor you have, forget yourself. To whatever extent you think about yourself, to that extent you'll fail. To whatever degree you think about others and forget yourself, to that same extent or degree, you will succeed. Because he who was the master of all said, he that seeketh his life.